Moncrief on News Talk.
This summer, Ethan Gilroy from Mercy Mount Hawk School in Tralee will be sitting the Leaving Cert. And one of his subjects he'll be sitting is Mandarin, making him the first Irish person of non-Chinese descent to do so. Ethan, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sean. How are you getting on?
Not too bad. When did you first start studying Mandarin?
Well, I picked it up back in TY as a short course alongside history. And I distinctly remember, I think it was the second or the third class that I was in there with my teacher, Angie Bailey, in Tralee. Many thanks to her, that she brought up that for those of us that were interested in the Chinese language, the Chinese culture, and so on, that we could possibly go to Shanghai for a month that summer. And I have to say, from that moment on, I was just hooked. And I put the head down for the whole of TY, really buried my head in the books, learning a bit of Chinese. And look, it paid off in the end. And I got to go to Shanghai for a month in July, in the summer of 2024.
Okay, and so it was partially your interest in the language and culture, but also like free trip at the end of this. That sounds pretty good. As well.
Yeah, come here. That we can't deny it. That was definitely a big part of it for me now. Yeah.
Because it's I don't know how to phrase this properly, but it's such a foreign language that, you know, the letters are different, the sounds are different. Is it like, where do you start from when you're trying to learn Mandarin?
Yeah, I won't sugarcoat it for you. It was a nightmare for me to start learning it initially. But I suppose you start to see patterns with Chinese, and it's also a very interesting language. Like, I don't know if you did French or Spanish or German when you were doing your Leaving Cert, but you've got the gendered nouns, you've got the conjugation of verbs and different articles, tenses, all of that crack. But as for Chinese, there's none of that in the language. So while it is a very difficult language, it's actually kind of intuitive in the way that you can learn it. So despite its difficulty, that's what made it very interesting for me.
Okay, yeah. Explain what you mean by it's intuitive.
Like the grammar in Chinese versus in English, it's actually not that different at all. Like, it's if you were to say, like, even my name is Ethan, is 我叫伊森 in Chinese, that's the same function, that's the same format there. It's I am called Ethan in Chinese. There's no difference there. And generally that remains true for any sentence in the Chinese language until you get to more, I suppose, advanced sentences.
Right, okay. Well, I suppose that's one advantage to it. The written part of it, I assume you had to learn that as well. Is that more difficult in the, as I understand it, the characters, if there's a stroke, you know, it's things you mightn't even notice that differentiate one character from another.
It's a very tedious process now to learn the characters, but there's a system to it. You go from left to right, then top to bottom, that kind of thing. But it is very complicated. If memory serves me, I think there's actually around 50,000 different characters with different meanings within the Chinese language. So that's where the main difficulty in learning Chinese, or one of the main difficulties, I should say, comes in when learning Mandarin.
Yeah, because there's not a kind of an alphabet in the same way you'd have it in
No,
in
there's
European
no
languages.
Alphabet per se. Yeah. You could even say like Mandarin Chinese is like the gift that keeps on giving if you're one of those people that's into learning off endless lists of vocab, because that's why people spend upwards of 10 years learning the language. It's not that it's that like there's always a new phrase, a new word, a new concept that you're learning all the time. Yeah. And for me, that's what keeps me interested in the language, definitely.
And is the tone important when you're speaking it? Now, when you said, my name is Ethan there, it sounded, to my completely untutored ear, completely spot on. But you know, if you'd used different set of tones, could it have a different meaning?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought it up, Sean. It actually just escaped my mind there for a second. But yeah, that's another massive component of the Chinese language, is the tonality of it. So a difference in tone, even if you're saying the same string of words or the same pronunciation, a difference in tone completely changes the meaning. So a good example would be to say ma in Chinese refers to your mother when you're holding out the tone like that. But then if you went like ma, that would mean horse. And then if you went ma, that means to give off to someone. So I suppose there's a bit of overlap there with mother and giving it off to you, but
that could have
that's one of the main difficulties.
That could have disastrous consequences, one can imagine. So when you went to Shanghai, could you, you know, and I suppose you were in the relatively early days of learning it at that stage. How much could you understand of what was being said?
It was tough for me initially for the first 2 weeks. I wouldn't even say that I'm semi-fluent in Chinese as is, but I would have a good grasp of the language. It was difficult for me at the time because I'd only been really properly learning Chinese for about 8 months, give or take, at that point. But once I was in Shanghai and I was talking to people in restaurants, talking to people to get into the accommodation I was staying at, so on and so forth, talking to my teacher, because I was doing lectures in Mandarin as well at Shanghai University. Once I started doing that, the immersion of it all paid off and I was flying it after that.
Really? Yeah. Do they have the same way that have here? Do they have accents? Is there a Shanghai accent as opposed to,
it's actually notorious among Chinese people, the Shanghai accent specifically. It's funny for me to say it now, considering that I'm from Kerry and I went to Shanghai, but you can nearly say the Shanghai Chinese accent is akin to a Kerry Chinese accent. Huh. It's just very, that's what the way I felt anyway. Like, it was very whimsical, and they've got their own separate dialect of Chinese that wouldn't be mutually intelligible with Mandarin itself in Shanghai, called Shanghainese as well. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So what you're doing, the Mandarin you're doing the Leaving Cert in, is it kind of like a generalized Mandarin, but there might be all sorts of sub-dialects of it?
Exactly. The Mandarin I do is like the lingua franca around China. That's not something a lot of people, particularly in Europe, I think, or in the West, really realize about China, is that there's around 52, 53 main ethnic groups within China, all with several somewhat mutually intelligible or completely different languages. There's different, like, Mongolian-related groups up north. You'd have some more Southeast Asian groups, like the Cantonese-speaking groups in the south, and so on and so forth. And Mandarin Chinese is just like this, like I said, like a lingua franca. It's like this conglomerate language based on the Beijing capital, their dialect of Chinese, that's just spoken all across China. It's really interesting when you think about it.
Yeah, but can they understand each other or only to a limited degree?
If they were speaking in their own local dialects, most of the time there's not a hope of understanding each other. And that's the importance of Mandarin Chinese for Chinese people, because they can, despite if someone was from the southwest of China and another was from the northeast, at least they'd be able to understand each other through Mandarin.
Yeah. Right. Now, not to cast any aspersions on the size and sophistication of Trili, but Shanghai, is that like a bit head-wrecking, the size of it?
Yeah, it was, I won't lie to you, it felt like a bit of a nightmare to me initially when I landed there in Shanghai Airport, but I got used to it and I ended up loving the hustle and the bustle of the city itself. Like, Shanghai is a city, if you can imagine it like this, imagine a city that encompasses the land area of Kerry and Cork put together nearly. And if you stuffed 26 million people in there, that'd be Shanghai.
It's extraordinary. It's hard to get your head around it, really, that so many people are.
It kind of is, yeah. It's just a different scale to anything we'd be used to back in Ireland.
Yeah. Now, as we said at the start, you're the first Irish person of non-Chinese descent to do Mandarin in the Leaving Cert. Are there many people around your age or many other people doing Mandarin who perhaps would be of Chinese descent?
Now, I would like to clarify there. I'm actually the first person of non-Chinese origin in Kerry to start doing Chinese for the Leaving Cert.
Right.
But there's a minority of Irish people that would take it up for Leaving Cert. The majority of people that I'd be doing my Mandarin with for the Leaving Cert, though, would be of Chinese background. But there's a couple of Irish people thrown in the mix that just had an interest in the language. Yeah.
Yeah. But like a lot of the others then, would they be here in Mandarin in the home and maybe grown up speaking Mandarin? So they have a bit of an advantage.
There is a bit more of nuance to it than that, I suppose. But in some cases, their parents might be speaking Mandarin at home. But then you have to also realise that usually at home, these kids of Chinese origin in Ireland, their parents might be speaking their own local dialect from where they come from back in China. that might have no relation to Mandarin Chinese whatsoever. So there, it's a mix in the classes. You'd have some people that are nearly completely fluent in Mandarin. Then you'd have others that, albeit they might be Chinese, they mightn't have as much basis in Mandarin Chinese as the average Irish person might think whatsoever.
The exam itself, is there, were there texts you had to study? Is there kind of a Chinese version of PEG you had to work your way through?
luckily, there wasn't a Chinese version of PEG to work through, but there was something similar with the oral exam. You'd have to prepare a language portfolio on some aspect of Chinese culture that you were interested in. So I did mine on similar to like the project or le document in French for the Leaving Cert orals. I did mine on this one Chinese Olympian shooter called Olympian, like Olympic shooter, Sheng Li Hao, and I did it on him. But you get, and then you have to learn about different Chinese festivals, how they are similar and different to different festivals and cultural traditions in Ireland, that kind of thing.
God, it's absolutely fascinating. Yeah. We did get a message in Ethan. And this person says, so proud of Ethan. I specifically remember him in TY, was so impressed with his enthusiasm. He's very modest. He speaks Chinese very well. He's fully embraced the language. As mentioned by Ethan, there are 56 ethnic groups with different languages, customs and traditions. Ethan is a great mascot for us. And Angie Bailey adds, G-Y-Y-O, whatever the hell that means. You probably
That's a GIO, I think, which would mean go on or fair play, I suppose, fair play.
Fair play.
That's the equivalent of it in Mandarin. Angie Bailey's right there. She was actually my very first Chinese teacher. So she was the one to actually get me engrossed in the language to begin with. And she was a great help to me for that. So thank you, Angie. Thanks for tuning in. And I appreciate the lovely message.
Ethan, best of luck in the Leaving Cert. I've a feeling you won't need it. nonetheless, I look forward to finding out what your results are. And thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Ethan Gilroy there, a sixth-year student at Mercy Mountauk School in Tralee in County Kerry.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.